Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
It is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. My name is Mike Eel. I'm sitting in for Mark today. Abby is on the other side over there. So that is Cage the Elephant.
That's,
so I love the fact that whenever you come on a radio show, you get this bumper music. You never really know what's coming, right? Stuff, it's already in there, gets done, you start playing it. Carl in the morning has like the craziest taste of music, and he puts all kinds of stuff in. But he's a good, like, indie type guy. He knows all kinds of stuff. Reardon is that guy. Reardon knows all kinds of indie artists and all this music stuff. Both really big into all of that. So sometimes you hear these songs, you go, wow, that's a really nice little beat, nice little rhythm. If you're my age, you go, hey, Raider record, that's great. It's got a good beat. It's easy to dance to. I'll give it an 85. Your American Bandstand flashback of the day. And Abby's going, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about right there. But anyway, I like that song. Like, who is that? You learn a lot when you listen to 97.1 FM Talk. And it's not just about politics. I was really excited to hear Dave Murray's forecast talking about the fact that it's going to be 53 tomorrow. Because, like I talked about before, the best news about being 53 tomorrow, my driveway melts. And that means I don't have to finish shoveling because I didn't do it the other day. So I was noticing the other day when the snow was coming down. And by the way, I hate snow. I'm with Abby. I think it's pretty outside my window. But as soon as it hits, I want it to melt. Only stick on the grass because I don't have to mess with it after that. So when it gets to be about 53 or so and it stays there for a while, the ground is too warm and it melts pretty quickly. What I should have done, I should have shoveled, first of all, because that was stupid. And every time I don't do it, I'm always like, man, I should have shoveled, but I didn't. So I got this this yard blower earlier this summer. And it's one of those battery-operated ones, right? So you stick the battery in there. You don't have to do the cord anymore. My old one was corded. I never had a gas one. I have a gas trimmer, but I didn't have a gas blower. And my neighbor had done this, and I saw it, and I thought, that's a good idea. When it's coming down, and it's kind of light, and this snow didn't have big flakes, right? It was a lot of little bitty ones.
Yeah.
So you can take your blower out there, and just when it's got a, you know, quarter inch or so on there, you're starting to cover a little bit, take your blower out and just blow it off, and it's done, you know? And as my friend says, it's better than great. It's done, right? So as soon as I saw that coming down, and yesterday morning, when I got up and I put the dog out and I'm standing there and I thought, well, snow Armageddon didn't happen again. So, you know, thank God I didn't rush out and get the milk and the bread. We didn't need it anyway. So I'm thinking, oh, that didn't happen that bad. That'll melt itself. And then you get busy drinking coffee and playing around on the internet and doing stuff. And you go, oh, crap. Now it's probably a little too thick. It's not going to melt on its own. So I should have gotten that blower out there and just blown that off. So that way you don't have to break the shovel out. Are you figuring the fact that I don't like to shovel snow? Is that coming across?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's pretty much how it is. I just, no.
Have you ever seen those electric shovels?
No.
Yeah, they make electric shovels.
Is that like a little snow blower?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you hold it kind of like you would hold like a lawnmower.
Yeah.
And then you just like mow the snow away.
Okay, yeah. So much
and
like a blower.
It's also cordless.
I see. Now we're speaking my language. How can I make a task that I don't like more pleasant? I moved to the battery-operated mower a couple of years ago, and I love it. It's fantastic. I don't have to deal with the gas and oil mixture, which I always seem to screw that up at some point with my lawnmower. I don't know why. It shouldn't be that hard, but I tend to do it anyway, so it's like, why? So I moved to this battery-operated one, and I loved it. And I bought the Kobalt version that Lowe's was selling, the 80-volt version. Well, evidently, that was the wrong thing to do, because now Lowe's has gotten rid of the 80-volt, and they've gone to these 40-volts. I'm like, great. So I was hoping to, you know, get the whole fleet of 80-volt stuff. Yeah, not so much. So I guess we're scouring the internet now to try to find that and try to figure it out. But anyway, I digress, and that all came off of a caged elephant. Sometimes your ADD just kicks in, or mine in this particular case, and that's the way things go. So have you noticed when President Biden is doing these little impromptu news conferences, he always says stuff that you're just like, wow, so that's the guy that is the most powerful guy in the free world. That's our president. So we found this little clip of him talking the other day about, is he going to get the voting rights deal done?
We all ask questions about complicated subjects like, can you get this done? I hope we can get this done. The honest to God answer is, I don't know whether we can get this done. Is this mic on? I guess, anyway. And I'm not sure either. But anyway, I hope we can get this done. But I'm not sure.
Is this mic on? Hello? Hello? Is this thing working? Are you there? I can only guess that when he was saying that, the reporters must have been looking at him like, what are you talking about? You ask complicated questions, he says. Angela Johnson does this whole bit about where she's a waitress or a front counter person, like at a Burger King. I got a complicated order? Like, no, I just ask you about your bill. Why is that complicated? Why is it, if I ask you a question about your voting rights bill that you have pivoted from, as friends would say, you have pivoted to this particular one because everything else that you put forward continues to be either can't pass, or once you do, the courts say, no, you can't do that. Don't you have a lawyer? Like, someone should have told you that is not going to work, but yet you did it anyway. So then we come back and you say, we're moving on from COVID because I'm getting killed on COVID stuff. That was supposed to be my best numbers. Now I have a 33% approval rating as of the latest. I think it was Rasmussen who did the latest poll. Could have been Quinnipiac that did the latest poll. It doesn't really matter. They're all under 36% now. He just keeps falling further underwater. But COVID was the one score that he had the best scores on. Now, he has a horrible score on that, too. Why? Because he earned it. That's why. But when he says we're going to pivot off of this because we can't get anything done, and we're going to go to voting rights, and then the reporters ask him about it, and he says, you guys ask these complicated questions. Why is that complicated? It's your bill. Shouldn't that be an easy question? Shouldn't that be a layup question? Hey, are you going to be able to get that done? It's not that hard. Count noses. Nancy Pelosi counts noses whenever she puts something on the floor. Whether you like the woman or not, and I'm definitely not a fan, she knows her stuff. And when she's going to put a bill on the floor, she is going to make sure that she's got the votes to get it passed. She always makes sure that she has the votes and she gets it passed. I have no idea what Chuck Schumer is thinking, because he's saying that he is going to put this bill on the floor and he's going to have people get on the record as to whether or not this is actually going to pass. You would think at some point he would have had a conversation with the president about this. So, Mr. President, I'm at like 48. I got 48. I got two, not going to do it. And they're not going to get rid of the filibuster either. So can't do a simple majority. I don't even have a simple majority to get this thing done. Well, Chuck, I think we should put it on the floor. So again, just to recap, don't have the votes to get this done. Don't even have enough to override the filibuster. Don't have a simple majority. Not going to pass. You think maybe we should pivot to something else? Nope. Let's go ahead and put that thing out there and let's get it done. And then reporters ask you a question. You say, you asked this complicated stuff. Really? I didn't ask you anything about the horrible relationship that we currently have with Russia, who, by the way, has amassed 100,000 troops on Ukraine's border. I haven't talked to you about the fact that North Korea might actually have a hypersonic missile that we think they just tested. We're not quite sure, but there's a pretty darn good idea that they do. Where did they get it? Probably from China, who, by the way, has the same stuff that they are testing on a regular basis. How's your relationship with China? Well, it should be great. They've been paying off your son for years.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So for the last 10 years, they've made him a multimillionaire. Maybe because they love his crack-blown artwork. I don't know. Maybe in China, crack-blown artwork is a really big thing. There's a cottage industry of billionaires that love Hunter Biden crack-blown artwork. It's fantastic. It's one of a kind. You can only get it when you're completely stoned out of your mind and your dad's vice president. That's the only way that that works. And then you roll back later and go, can you believe America actually made this guy president? I'm sure somewhere in China they're going, what? No, you're punking me. Is Ashton going to walk out? What's going on right now? Is that what's happening? This cannot be true. It's like, yeah, they got rid of Trump and they actually voted this guy in. It's like, thank you, Buddha. Like, I'm assuming they're not going to say thank God. I'm assuming it's China. They're going to say thank Buddha, right? Does that work? Politically correct in China? Who knows? they're rubbing the fat guy's belly and they're very happy and they're burning incense somewhere because we put Joe Biden in charge. And then Joe Biden says stuff like that. Was it really bad that he lost the case? I would think, yes, it's really bad that he lost the fact that OSHA voted that down. It's really bad for him, I should say. It's really good for the American population. Senator Blunt, by the way, had a unique take on this. And I just thought I'd share that one with you real quick. Maybe.
Questions about complicated subjects like, can you get this done? I hope we can get this done.
Yeah. Well, I'm not very surprised. I do think maybe I'm going to take a little different tack here than probably most of the people you've talked to. I think one of the big winners today was probably the Biden administration by not having to go forward with something that had all kinds of consequences that they hadn't anticipated. Various businesses where you could go from the 100 employer business to the 90 employer business. You could go, Charles, from the 100 employer more police force to the 20 employer police force or the fire force of people working at grocery stores that have more than 100 employees. Well, what happens if they decide they can make just as much money working somewhere across the street? And suddenly, if you even had things to put on the shelves, another problem we're facing right now, even if you had things to put on the shelves, you wouldn't have people to put them on the shelves. There might be some secret sighs of relief going on at the White That's House right now, that this is a problem that they can now think about in a different way. I'm pro-vaccine, but I've been anti-mandate because I think the mandate actually has had a counterproductive impact on people getting vaccines.
That was Senator Blunt on Fox Business when he was talking to Charles on there. And we talked to Dan Meehan, the president and CEO of the Missouri Chamber, last hour, talking about the fact that we have a huge worker problem in this country. So Senator Blunt may be exactly right. One of the best things that could have happened to Biden was the fact that they got rid of the OSHA mandate for him, and he didn't have to do it. Now he can look at his radicals with AOC and all those folks and say, hey, I did it for you. I followed what you wanted to do. It's those daggum Supreme Court justices that you just can't count on. What do you think the odds are that that's going to make the liberals start saying, that's why we need to pack the court? That's why we need to expand this thing to 13 so you can add four more judges and we can turn this thing and get it back to where we want to get it. I guarantee you somebody's going to bring up that conversation and they're going to go back to that particular direction. But Senator Blunt may be exactly right. The best thing that can happen to the Biden administration is that these things continue to get knocked down because he can't do any more harm than what he's already doing. My company, i3 Broadband, is based out of East Peoria, Illinois, right? That's our headquarters. We've got about 200 employees who work for us. We were trying to figure out, how are we going to do business if this mandate goes through? My HR director is pulling her hair out because she's like, we don't have enough people right now. We're trying to hire like crazy, trying to find people to bring in, teach them to be locators and installers and drop Barry and all these type people that you don't have to have any experience. We're going to hire you and train you how to do the job. Like Dan Meehan was talking about the apprenticeship program, an intern program to bring you in, teach you how to do the on the job training type stuff. You can't find folks in the numbers that we need them. If we put a vaccine mandate into place like he was going to do, we were probably going to lose a third of the people who currently work for us. What are you going to do then? Well, now I can't efficiently run my business. I may not be able to do much of anything. So, to Senator Blunt's point, one of the things that I think may have been a silver lining for the Biden administration was you didn't get your plan through. Therefore, you get somebody else to blame. Maybe that gives you a little ways to hang on with your base. I don't know. There's all kinds of talk about changes going on with the airport. Have you noticed that our airport's kind of old and dated? Well, they've been talking about what are we going to do to update it. We're going to talk with the airport director, Rhonda Hamm-Niebrugge, and we will talk to her on the other side of this. It's the Mark Reardon Show. My name is Mike Elam, filling in today. Hope you're having a great MLK Day on 97.1 FM Talk. It is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. My name is Mike Elam, filling in for Mark today. There has been a lot of talk, actually for quite some time, but it has really heated up lately, talking about the St. Louis Airport. There is some plans that they are kicking around right now about expanding the airport, redoing the airport, and going from two terminals into one terminal. If you're going to talk about the airport, the best way to get the best information is to actually talk to the airport director. What an idea. Rebecca Hamm-Niebrugge is on the phone with us. Rhonda, sorry, Rhonda, I don't know where I got Rebecca. Where did that come from? How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So sometimes things just pop out and you're like, where did that come from? How is your MLK day, by the way?
It's been very nice, thank you.
Very good. It's always good to have a day off and try to recoup, re-energize, and get ready to go, because it looks like you got all kinds of stuff on your plate, as you always have since you've been at the airport. By the way, how long have you been the director now?
Just started my 13th year.
Your 13th year. I remember, it's been a number of years ago, and I have regurgitated your remarks in many different corners that I've been with when the airport conversation came up. And I remember you saying, this has got to be about 10 years ago, where people were talking about trying to make Lambert a hub again. And you said, give that up. Unless you're a top eight market, you're probably not going to be a hub in the United States. We've got to get more creative in looking at how our airport functions for not only the region, but the role that we fill in the country. Is that still something that is true today? I mean, there's been a lot of things change over the last 10 years.
Yeah, it is still true if you think about hub in the true sense of the TWA days and the type of hub we had. In a market this size, that's just very, very unlikely. What we have been able to do, and what I tried to explain to people back then, was if we can think about finding another partner who's willing to start pushing connecting traffic back through here, then we can grow back some of those markets that we had lost. The challenge with the TWA hub was that 70% of all of the passengers the TWA had connected through St. Louis. So the local market has never changed. It's been the same market. It was just such a large connecting hub for TWA. And it was the only hub that TWA had for many, many years. And so that was challenging in a lot of different ways, you know, especially financially. But what we've been able to do is find a great partner within Southwest. And so once we de-hubbed, we went back to maybe 3 or 4% of our market being connecting market, and that was it. And as we were able to become more financially stable and get our cost reduced and become a more competitive airport in terms of how we look toward the future, then Southwest became a very strong partner in that exercise and started pushing connecting traffic. So in 2016, when they really said, let's talk about connecting traffic through St. Louis, they started at a market with 5% connecting, and today they're at 35% of their market connecting.
Wow.
So that, yeah. Yeah, it's been a really big transformation in terms of that connecting traffic coming back. Still not to the magnitude, if you think, of TWA, but certainly Southwest is 50% of our market share, and 33% now is connecting traffic.
Is Terminal 2 pretty much just all Southwest, or are there other carriers who go through Terminal 2?
No, it's 100% Southwest. The only thing we have down there is our international arrivals area is okay. In Terminal 2. So some carriers arrive if they're coming from the Caribbean, Mexico markets, and Lufthansa will do the same thing in June when they start. They arrive in Terminal 2, but the aircraft gets towed over and they depart out of Terminal 1.
Real quick, since you just mentioned on that, we have a new carrier that's going to be using St. Louis. And we're going to have direct flights, international flights again. Am I understanding that correctly?
You are. International flights to Europe, which is a big win, I think, for the region. So starting June 1st, we will have nonstop service on an A330 with 287 seats with Lufthansa Airlines flying directly into Frankfurt.
That is a great get. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Just getting back to some of those type things that, you know, we have so many people who are old TWA folks who remember those days and remember all the great days of how things used to be. I know things continue to change, but one of those changes that we were having you on to really talk about is the airport design. So right now we have two different terminals. We have about, what, 54 scattered gates? Is that what I'm understanding?
We have 52 in use, although there's a lot of gates that aren't in use because they were set up for regional jets, and those don't really work in today's world. But we have 52 usable gates right now.
And we want to expand under one roof and have 62. Am I understanding that plan?
That is correct.
Tell me a little bit more about how would that work, and how would – I'm just thinking from a logistical standpoint. I mean, I liken this to kind of building a new sports stadium. You've got the current one that's there, and if you want to build a new one on the same piece of ground, one's got to come down before the other one goes up. But when you run an airport, you can't do that. So how does that practically work when you're looking at a plan like this?
Right. Well, we're working through our master plan, so we've been working on it for about 2 years. And every decade, the FAA has a requirement that airports do a master plan. They're very an extensive study of the future and where you need to go with your airport. And a lot of times, you know, they get put on a shelf because airports aren't ready to get to that next step. And we've had several where we've done that. I think with this one, it's different because I do think we're talking about the future and where we go from here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And when you think about the role of aviation today, and you think about the efficiencies of it and what the consumer wants, it's ease, it's a lack of congestion, and it's sort of worry-free and an experience. I mean, that's what everyone tells you over and over. So looking at all of those things as we work through this master plan, the draft is really coming to a decision that says it should be a single terminal. And when you think about the way we're set up today, we do have the historic dome feature. That's a terrific feature. It's recognized across the world. Some people agree, some people disagree with keeping it. But, you know, in the preferred terminal plan, you would actually reuse those historic domes and that big lobby area, which works very, very well into the future of how airports are operating today. You would build more to the west, meaning more toward the St. Charles area. You know, you'd build west where the Missouri Air National Guard facility is. And you would start building and then taking down concourses to the east one by one. You'd keep southwest in the terminal until the new terminal is totally built. And then you could either repurpose or do something else with Terminal 2. In addition to that, you've got to fix the garage in Terminal 1. It's a very aging facility, so you've got to think about tearing that down and phasing that in, fixing the roadway, which we all know is a challenge today, especially in Terminal 2, because it's such a short distance into the terminal and it's always backed up. So there are a number of things that go into this, not just the terminal, but it looks at our airport runway system, which is a fabulous runway system and will carry us well into the future. And then it looks at the roadway system and the garages as well.
So do you have an idea when you're I realize this is early in the process, but do you have an idea of what a projected cost of something like this would ballpark around?
Not really. That'll come in this final phase, which is in the next 2 to 3 months. I mean, if you think about new terminals today and the ones being built, whether that's Kansas City, whether that was the New Orleans that just opened, whether that was in Indianapolis, you know, I mean, they're all in the area of $1 billion+. So it depends how much of that your airlines, because it's our terminals aren't financed from the public. So your airlines pay a rate base. That's a user fee to use your airport. And then you also get some federal dollars, depending on what the projects are. Most of those federal dollars are driven toward runways. But with the new infrastructure bill, there is some dollars that are being allocated for facilities. And then we look at our passenger facility charges, which is collected on every ticket at every airport in the country at $4.50. And you can use that well into the future to help finance. So there's a multitude of things that come in. The final phase of this is really looking at what are all those costs, not only of building one, but what's the cost of maintaining a terminal that is as old as ours, and still spending an enormous amount of money to get the systems upgraded and carry us into the future, and still not have a single checkpoint, wider concourses, more space for concessions, all those things that, one, drive efficiencies and save cost, but also can drive revenues.
So we're talking to with St. Louis Airport Director Rhonda Hamm-Niebrugge. Rhonda, as we look at this process, where are we right now in this process? I realize this is going to take a lot of time. This is not something that's going to get done in the next year or two, and we've got a brand new airport. So in terms of a timeline, kind of where are we right now? And if everything went as best as you could hope that it could go, what's the earliest that you could see a new facility done?
Yeah. So, you know, I'll answer the timeline question first. So
Okay. We're
just a master plan. We've been working on it for 2 years. It'll go once we have our public meetings here, which will start in the next month because we're required to have those. We'll have two or three of those. We've been briefing the airport commissioners. We obviously had an advisory committee made up of a wide range of people, both from the airlines, from MoDOT, from other governmental entities, that helped work through this. So that will go to the FAA this summer. In the meantime, you know, there's a fairly significant environmental study that also has to go to understand the impact of doing this. That's a requirement from the FAA. While we're talking with the airlines and with the community and certainly with the mayor and what we want to do as we go forward and how this will be funded, you know, that process can easily take 2 to 3 years. If you think about start to finish, normally it's 10 to 15 years from start to finish. Now, we're in that early stage. You know, I'd like to think that if all the stars align and everybody agrees that based on where, you know, our cost on our and our financial strength and the ability to maybe get some of the federal infrastructure dollars, you know, that we could over the next 2 to 3 years have an agreement, a cost detailed analysis, and also a funding source of how this works and what the cost will be to the airlines, because your airlines are going to be critical. It's something that they're going to have to agree to and that they feel for us. Being able to continue to grow that connecting traffic is extremely important. So we want to stay cost competitive. We also want to be able to continue to grow the ultra low cost carriers like Spirit, which came in this year. You know, they started with 5 markets. They're now at 9, and I think they'll add a couple more here in the near future. So when we think about an ultra low cost carrier like Spirit or Frontier, they look for very low cost at an airport to be able to run the type of operation. So now we've got those ultra low cost carriers. You've got your legacy carriers, which a lot of people like because of their network and their depth and their longstanding reliability. And then you've got, you know, a carrier like Southwest, which is kind of in between. Started as a low cost carrier, obviously has grown to be an enormous carrier and is bringing that connecting traffic here. So all of those things go into play when you think about the timing. So I think if we look at all of those things, we look at the facts, we understand, you know, what the cost is to maintain this terminal for the next 2 decades and still not have an efficient terminal in terms of checkpoints and ability to grow the concession revenue. You know, you get to an agreement, you have to do architectural designs and then construction. And obviously for us, it's phased construction based on the fact that we would keep the domes, assuming that's the agreement that everybody comes to. So you're looking at a 10 to 12 year window. Best case scenario, probably from start to finish is 10 years. Could it take longer? Yes. Could it take a few months less? Maybe. But it's a long process because obviously everybody has to come to an agreement, and you've got to understand, you know, where we're going for the future.
Well, there is a lot on your plate, as there always seems to be when we talk about the airport. It's always a topic of conversation. But I love the fact that you're doing this. How can folks find out more information? How can they get involved in the public comment portion of this?
Right. So there's two ways. Another survey is going to be, this will be our third public survey we've done. That should come out here at the end of the month. That will be on our Fly STL webpage. The other two surveys are on there. You can see the questions that were asked. You could see the responses. We had really good response from the public on those. Also, the presentation that we made to the Airport Commission 2 weeks ago is right at the top of our Fly STL page. It says Airport Layout Plan Update. You can click on that and see all the different designs they looked at, you know, the roadway that they looked at. You can see all of those different things. And then when we get ready to push this next one out, we'll do it through the website, but we also push it on Twitter. We push it on Facebook. You know, I ask all the organizations like Civic Progress, like, well, not Civic Progress, but Greater St. Louis, Inc. and the Regional Business Council and the various mayors, we ask them to help push that out through their teams that they have so that, you know, we can get people involved. And then we will start, once we decide when we'll actually do what we call open houses. Now, depending on COVID, those still may be via Zoom, I don't know, but we'll start those probably in February, somewhere mid-February to late March. And that'll be an active, whether it's in person or whether it's Zoom, where people can ask us questions. So we'll talk about, you know, sort of where we're at and what the study is, and then we'll give the public, obviously, opportunity to give us their thoughts.
Thank you very much for sharing all this information today, especially on a holiday. So thanks again for taking the time.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
That is Rebecca Hamnebrugge. She is the director of the St. Louis International Airport. We call it Lambert Field now, not Lambert Airport. Did you know that? See, it's a little something new that you pick up. Hey, there's a game on tonight. Did you know that? It's the last Monday Night Football game. There's all kinds of stuff that's going on in the sports world lately. And when you got to talk sports, we're going to talk to Frank Cusimano from KSDK News Channel 5 to catch up on what's going on right here on The Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. It is The Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Mark today. And it is the battle of former St. Louis teams going on tonight. The Cardinals and the Rams. Everybody who left town is now in the playoffs and playing each other. Frank Cusimano is on the phone with us. Frank, how are you, sir?
Yeah, Mike, it's like, which ex-wife do you like better? I kind of prefer the football Cardinals because the divorce wasn't quite as acrimonious. And in hindsight, all we had to do was build Bill Bidwell a stadium, and we'd still have the football Cardinals. In fact, I asked on Twitter yesterday, Frank_Cusimano, if you would give up the Super Bowl and the Rams, would you do that to still have the football Cardinals here? And I would do it in a heartbeat. I'd like to still be one of the 32 cities that still has an NFL team.
That would be awesome. I was just curious how that poll was going. Were more people saying they were into it or not?
Yo, a lot of people were into it, and I think that most people said, yeah, I would much rather have, you know, the football Cardinals and give up the Rams and that Super Bowl. I mean, look, Bidwell wasn't evil. Kroenke was evil.
True.
Bidwell was cheap. Bidwell was short-sighted, but he wasn't an evil guy like Stan Kroenke was.
This is true, or Stan Kroenke is, as the case would still be.
That's true.
So who are you picking tonight? You got Cardinals, you got Rams?
My heart says Cardinals. My mind says Rams. They're playing at home. They've been the better team most of the season. We'll see. They have a quarterback in Matthew Stafford who's really gifted, but he's never won a postseason game. That's the story. How does this quarterback handle the big stage?
That will be exciting to watch. I thought it was interesting. I saw earlier that Hall of Famer Roger Worley was going to be at the game tonight. So I was excited about that. What's funny is my dad is 89. He still refers to the Cardinals as the St. Louis Cardinals when he's talking football. And I don't think he's ever given that up. He's going to be there the whole way.
Yeah. Well, Roger Worley was one of the greats, number 22 from the University of Missouri. I can remember when I was doing the Rams on radio and we went to Arizona for one of the first games. And it was just so weird seeing an Arizona player with, say, you know, number 22, that's Worley, number 85, Mel Gray, that's number 17, that's Jim Hart. They weren't actually there, but they were our guys, and wearing those uniforms, you thought about, you know, the great years they gave us in St. Louis.
Oh, I'm so there with you, man. So speaking of great years in St. Louis, are you think our Blues are good to go moving forward?
Yeah, I'm at Enterprise right now, and we're here for a special night. At 6 o'clock, they are going to retire the jersey of Chris Pronger.
Wow.
And Pronger is a study in contrast, because he was rather innocent-looking, but he had that devilish grin. He had all that skill, but he played so nasty and so dirty at times. But, you know, in about at 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to celebrate an 18-year career where Pronger was a Norris Trophy winner, a Hart Trophy winner, and was one of the great defensemen of his generation. It's going to be a special night here. It's going to be sold out. The place is going to be rocking. And the Blues really do ceremonies extremely well, from Brett Hull to Keith Tkachuk to Al MacInnis. They've just done a great job with it.
You got to love the fact that one of the great things about St. Louis is, if you were one of our sports heroes, man, you're always one of our sports heroes. The city just continues to love on you and put their arms around you. And it doesn't matter if you finished here. As long as you played here, we tend to love you, don't we?
Yeah, you're right. And as we speak, I'm looking up at the in the rafters, and I see Bernie Federko's jersey, Brett Hull's jersey, Brian Sutter's, Bob Plager, Barkley Plager, Bob Gassoff, and Al MacInnis. You're right. These are revered St. Louis sports figures forever.
So do you feel like the Blues are going to be able to make a run this year?
Yeah, I like almost everything I've seen. The other night, you know, it was not Jordan Binnington's best night at the office. You know, he gave up the game-winning goal to Toronto. But they're going to start Billy Husso tonight, who's been outstanding. Binnington's gone through a rough stretch here. I think he's going to have to get his mojo back. But in terms of offensive depth and weapons, man, this team is absolutely loaded. The problem is, it is a great Western Conference, you know, with teams like Colorado and the team you're going to see here tonight in Nashville. So, you know, I'm not saying they're locked to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. I am saying they're going to make the playoffs, and they have a great chance to make a run.
We're talking with KSDK Sports Director Frank Cusumano. Frank, I got a couple minutes left. I want to change sports on you real quick. I want to talk a little bit about college basketball. So Tigers having a tough time of it lately. Really tough game against Arkansas the other day. It looked like the Tigers were on a roll. I mean, they beat Alabama. So I thought they were going to go somewhere. Is Consuelo Martin in trouble?
I don't like to speculate about a guy's job. I'll just say this. He's had a really distinguished coaching career. He's won like 250 games. At Mizzou, he's been there for 4 years. He's been to the NCAA tournament twice. He won games at California. He went to a Sweet 16 at Tennessee. He won a lot of games at Missouri State. He also is a man of really, really high character. He doesn't break rules. He's not an NCAA cheat. What will get him in trouble is if at the end of this year, he's sitting there at 10 and 20 and there's 2,000 people in that building. So what he has going for him, though, the athletic director, she hired him when he was at the University of Tennessee, basically. She was instrumental in that hire. And she has, Desiree Reed-Francois, has a great deal of respect for Konzo. So I think he's got a chance to keep his job, but he's going to have to win some more games this season, especially at home. It's a loaded SEC conference with seven teams probably going to the NCAA tournament.
Which is just amazing when you think about the difference of SEC basketball to where it was not that long ago. I mean, we've always been known as a football conference, but then all of a sudden we've turned the corner and we are a legit basketball conference.
Yeah, and it's because the conference brought in a bunch of professional recruiters, a bunch of guys who have been successful at other stops, like Rick Barnes, who was at Texas, who's now at Tennessee. They've brought in great coaches, so Konzo has got to recruit better. It's not about coaching. It's about talent acquisition.
And these days, it's more about talent retention, where we've ended up in basketball especially. We've got these guys, if you're really good, they're one and done. And can you go find somebody to reload on a regular basis? Coach Cal and Coach Krzyzewski's folks like that have tended to do that over and over again. I don't know how they do it.
Well, it's a little easier to recruit at Kentucky and Duke than it is at Mizzou, but you're right. They're always loaded with talent.
Hey, real quick, before I let you get out of here, where do you think we're going to end up with baseball?
I think we'll miss about half of spring training, and when we get closer to, you know, the start of the regular season, when the owners know they're going to start losing money and the players know they're going to start losing money, they're going to come to some accord.
Well, that would be some good news. Who's on Sports Plus? Who'd you have on Sports Plus last night?
Last night we had Gary Pinkel, and I encourage everybody, if you get a chance, to go to KSDK.com and look at our story on Justin Hardy. In the history of sports, there's never been an athlete competing while he's getting treatment for stage 4 stomach cancer.
Wow.
It's one of the most courageous stories. He's one of the most incredible kids I've ever met. His name is Justin Hardy, and he's an outstanding basketball player at Wash U. And what he's dealing with is absolutely remarkable.
Well, Frank, we appreciate the coverage. Good luck tonight. Chris Pronger hanging his jersey up, man. That's a huge one. I didn't realize 18 years. I missed a few along the way.
Mike, thank you, sir. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Frank. That is Frank Cusumano. He is the sports director at KSDK News Channel 5. Abby, did you get all 18 of those years?
I sure did not.
You missed a couple of those along the way?
Absolutely.
Pronger was great, man. I loved watching him play. He was fantastic. Hey, speaking of another great guy, Tim Lomar is the prosecuting attorney for St. Charles County. There has been a lot of prosecuting attorneys. It just keeps expanding around the country of they don't want to prosecute crimes. We'll talk to Tim, give his idea about that on the other side of the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.